Okay, we'll get started.
Okay.
Okay, so the standard operating procedure is that we name our sins to God the Father before we begin Bible class. This ensures that we have the filling of the Holy Spirit.
就像我们每一次上课开始必须要有的 SOP，我们要向我们的天父认罪，让我们能够得到圣洁，然后让圣灵可以充满我们，让我们能够好好的学习。
First John 1:9 tells us very clearly that if we name our sins to God the Father, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
就如同约翰一书一章九节所跟我们说的，
Yeah, so He forgives us our sins and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
因着我们向天父认罪，天父就会将我们洁净，因着他的公义。
Okay, so let's do that now. Just bow our heads and name our sins quietly to God the Father.
好，现在我们就低头祷告。
Father in heaven, we give thanks to you for the time that you've given to us now.
感谢天父给我们这个研读圣经你的话语的时间。
We pray that as we focus on the message, that the Holy Spirit will guide us and help us to understand your word.
我们祷告，希望能够让我们非常专注的学习，然后圣灵会教导我们，让我们知道你的意思。
And through these things, we can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
因着你的恩典，让我们能够在学习中能够更为了解耶稣基督。
We pray these things in Christ's name.
我们所有的祷告是因着主耶稣基督之名。
Amen.
Amen。
Just for the students that will be listening to this on the files, you might notice that the sound quality is a little bit different from previous files that you've been listening to.
大家可能会觉得这一堂课的录音的那个质感，声音的质感跟之前的不太一样。
Yeah, and that's because previously we'd been doing the lessons while I was in Taiwan, and then I was in the same room as the translator.
因为呢，之前的所有的录音呢，都是当 Tim 在台北的时候，跟翻译的人一起录制，在同一个房间里一起录制的。
Okay, but as of this lesson, this will be AC 260. I'm actually back in Thailand. After about a year, almost a year away from Taiwan now, we've just begun the classes again.
Only 7 months.
Oh, seven, okay, it seems like a lot longer. Okay, 7 months. That's right.
而现在呢，我们今天这一个课录制的 Tim 已经回到了泰国，而且他已经回到泰国7个月了。
So what we're trying to do is we're just going to pick up from the last lesson. It's talking about the covenants of Scripture, and hopefully we can have a fairly smooth transition.
所以我们呢，今天呢要继续我们的课程的教导。那这一次呢，我们要继续再谈我们从之前只现在是260次的课程啊，我们谈的是圣经的约定。
The topic heading is Covenants of Scripture, and this is going to help us understand the promises that God has given to us.
我们这个主题呢，圣经的约定，其实是在教导我们神。天父对我们有所有的应许。
Yeah. And actually, it's a very important part of the angelic conflict, which we're learning about, because God has made promises, of course. And he will be faithful to uphold the promises. But Satan is always trying to get God to break his promises.
其实我们非常的清楚啊，神在圣经中给了我们非常非常多的。应许，而撒旦呢，却是一直想要破坏神对我们人的应许，而这正是天使的征战中非常重要的一课。
And this is just one other concept which helps us to see the huge difference in the character between God and Satan.
而这正是撒旦跟我们的天父，他们很特别的两个个性。
See, God is always faithful. You know, we just saw that in 1 John 1:9. Yeah, he is always faithful. He never breaks his word.
像我们的神呢，他一直都是非常非常的信实的，他从来都不会打破他原来的承诺。
Whereas we read in scripture and, you know, through actual verses talking about Satan's character, and we see the things he's done. He's a liar. He's deceitful. He can never be trusted.
而撒旦呢，刚好相反，他就是一个骗子，从来都是失信于人，而且他是会有诡计的，这是他非常特别的一个性格。
And it's something for us to look at in our own lives, because naturally from arrogance and from the sin nature, you know, we ourselves, we can be deceitful and we can lie and we're not in the truth. And that means we're basically being agents for Satan.
而从我们人类的个性里面，我们看到我们自己也是会撒谎，然后也会欺骗，然后也是非常的这个自以为是，而这一些都是变成让我们成为了撒旦的代言人。
But as we learn more about God and his character and his plan, and the more we try to, we say emulate, which means like to copy God, then the more we can move into truth and move away from the deceitful character that we used to have.
而但是呢，在我们这样子的罪性之下，当我们可以在研读圣经的时候，我们会看到神他的这种信实，他的美好的这个性格，会让我们想要模仿他，而让我们可以远离撒旦的非常罪性的那一面。
Okay, so as we look through the covenants of scripture and with the promises, and we can understand God's plan, we can understand that these things are based on truth and also for our benefit. Every promise God does, everything he does, it's always for our benefit.
而我们也从这个圣经的学习里面看到，神让我们可以学的每一件事情都是对我们有益的。
One way that we can start by looking at this is looking at the definition of a covenant. We've sort of done this already, so this will be a review, but we'll look at the definition of a covenant.
好，那我们现在呢，就来先看看圣经跟我们的约定。那我们之前的就是去年的课有提到过，我们现在先算是做一个复习。
Okay, and as you can see on this slide here, we have the covenant definition. It's a noun. I don't think really there's a verb for the word covenant. We just say make a covenant, to make a verb. As a noun, it's an agreement between two people.
我们先要了解啊 ，covenant 这个约定这个词呢，它其实应该是一个名词。
Yeah, so there's really no verb for it. We have to say make a covenant if you're talking about actually promising something with someone.
Covenant 这个字，约定这个字呢，或者立约这个字，其实在英文它本身是一个名词，所以如果我们要用英文的话，我们说立约真正的要加上一个动词 make a covenant， 但是中文的意思就是约定。
I'll read off from the English definition and then you can read the Chinese down below. We have these words here. It's an agreement, usually formal.So it's more official. It's not just like, you know, two people just saying things usually. Usually it's more formal, maybe written down even, between two or more persons to do or to not do something specified.
好，所以呢，这个约定呢，其实在英文里面有另外一个字叫做agreement, 就是一个合约同意书。但是 covenant 这个字呢是更为正式的一个用法，它基本上就是在谈两个人或更多的人要约定什么事情可以做，什么事情不能做。
We see that with marriage, for example, when two people make a promise to get married, it's like they enter into a covenant usually. We just say a promise, you make promises at marriage. And one of the parts of the promises is that you will never leave each other. So there's a promise to not do something. You promise that if you're married, I will not leave my wife or I will not leave my husband and always be faithful.
好，比如说像婚姻的时候，两个人其实夫妻两个人就是在立约的状态啊，他就是立了一个约，而那个约定呢，却是说法是说啊，这一对夫妻结婚了，所以他们永远不会离开彼此。那所以这种约定不要做什么啊，就是在这个是立约中很重要的一个项目。
And actually, marriage is a good example to use when talking about the faithfulness of God and His promises or His covenant with us.Because marriage is a symbol of Jesus Christ and His church.
而这个婚约，好的，婚姻的约定呢，也常常拿来比喻耶稣与教会之间的关系。
And we know that, you know, Jesus Christ as the groom, so he takes the image or he represents the groom, and we, the church, are his bride. And so he makes promises that he will do everything for us and he will take care of us and he will always love us.
耶稣基督呢，在这个跟教会之间的这个婚约呢，耶稣基督就代表的是新郎，而教会就是新娘。而耶稣他就是跟我们教会立了约，他将永远的照顾我们，永远不会离开我们，永远的爱我们。
And from the side of the bride, like when a woman's making her vows, one of the things she should promise is to be faithful and obedient. You know, she's actually commanded by scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 that she would obey the husband.
而在以弗所书第五章里面呢，也就有讲说，我们教会呢就如同新娘一样，她要永远的对新郎信实而且顺服。
Because we as Christians, as part of the body of Christ or the church, you know, we are commanded to be faithful to Jesus Christ, to be obedient to him.
而我们呢，在圣经上就是很清楚的，等于是告诉我们，我们作为一个基督徒，就是必须要对，就是我们是教会的基督徒，我们是必须要对我们的新郎，也就是耶稣基督，非常的信实。
And a lot of marriages fail. You know, we even see, like in China, for example, the divorce rates are going up. The divorce rates have been going up all over the world, actually, since about 1950, 1960. But we shouldn't be surprised because people have been convinced that marriage is not a good idea.
而但是呢，在比较近代，在1950-60年代呢，在那个时候开始呢，大家对于婚约已经有了不同的看法哈。那这个所谓俗世的看法就变成说，婚姻不见得是一个对的方式。
And it's specifically clear, we can see that in America, for example, that the divorce rates have gone up, and it's because people aren't going to church, they're not learning the Bible, and then we're having very liberal views coming into society.
而你看到现在以美国来说，你会看到非常非常多的人呢、啊，都已经不再去教会了，然后对于这整个社会上面的这个氛围，就对于这种婚约立约已经越来越淡薄，他对他的那个真正的概念越来越不清楚了。
And so much so, it's got to the point where young people, they might be in love and it might be the right man and right woman combination, but they just say, well, why get married? Everyone's getting divorced, so what's the point of getting married? We just live together.
而很多年轻人呢，他们甚至男女在一起非常的相爱，然后也是非常适合在一起的一对一对的佳偶，但是他们却看到了太多的离婚的现象等等的，他们就不愿意再结婚了。
And you mentioned these concepts that the husband is supposed to love the wife and look after the wife, and that the wife is supposed to obey the husband. And even more so, that makes people say, well, why would you get married having to follow these very ancient ideals? You know, that's old stuff. That's for the grandparents. We can't do that.
而年轻人呢，甚至认为说，这个丈夫要永远的爱太太，太太要永远的这个顺服丈夫，这种是属于老一辈的想法，他们可不想要被这样约束。
Yeah, as a result of this, we see that society is very much in decline because there's no stability in the family structure because there is no husband and wife concept.
所以呢，现在的这个社会就越来越没有这种所谓家庭组织的概念，因为男女之间、夫妻之间的这种关系已经越来越淡薄。
And a lot of it is just because that people don't have integrity. The man, before he gets married, just says, you know, there's no way, it's impossible for me to be able to love my wife forever because this is the society we live in. And the wife is saying, and I can't obey my husband because that's sexist.
而在夫妻之间呢，就是说男女之间呢，男生也认为他怎么可能一辈子只爱一个女人。那女生呢也认为说，我怎么可能是要顺服我丈夫？所以这种基本的这种应该说信心以及对婚姻的信心已经没有了。
That's why it's very important, you know, for Christians, if they're in marriage or thinking about getting married, that they need to understand that they'll be in a minority. If they can have a marriage which lasts for the rest of their lives, this is a very rare thing, and this is what God is looking for in society.
而对于神所给我们的期许，就是让我们能够有完美的婚姻，可以在一起一辈子的这种概念呢，还是属于基督徒所有的概念，却在这个社会上变成所谓的少数的人才有了。
But getting back to the fact that in a marriage, Jesus Christ is representing the husband and the woman is representing the church. But we will see that Jesus Christ is always going to be faithful to his church.
而但是呢，我们神提供给我们的对我们的一个誓言呢，就是约定呢，就是耶稣基督是教会的丈夫，他将永远的爱这个教会，永远的信实的对教会。
And God is always faithful to us, regardless of whether we're faithful to Him or not. And many times we're not faithful to God, but God will always be faithful to us.
更让人就是应该说感动的是，不论我们教会，我们基督徒是否对我们的神，对耶稣基督信实，耶稣基督永远都是对我们信实的。
This actually comes out in 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, if we're not faithful to him, he remains faithful to us because he cannot deny himself.
提摩太后书2:13里面呢，我们若不忠信，他仍是忠信的，因为他不能背乎自己。这就是神给我们的应许。
He cannot deny himself because we are in him. And we are part of Jesus Christ, and so he has to be faithful to us. If he was not faithful to us, he would be denying himself because we're in union with him. We are in him and he is in us. So for this reason, he has to be faithful to us.
因为呢，我们是在耶稣基督里面，所以呢，他怎么样都不可能，应该说否定自己，因为我们就是他。所以他一定会对我们忠信。
And some believers, they think they do a horrendous sin. They think they do a big sin, and they say, now Jesus is going to deny me.
有一些人呢，他会有一个很大的罪，就是说，他说，神否定了我。
Well, Jesus paid for that sin on the cross. And so unless he's going to deny his work on the cross and sort of try to make himself think that he never paid for the punishment for that sin,
而我们要知道，当我们犯了任何的罪，只要我们向天父认罪呢，这个所有的罪就由在十字架上的耶稣基督所承担了。
So to explain it another way, you're saying, oh, Jesus can, oh, God can never forgive me for my sin. My sin is too great. But you know, God, he took care of that sin on the cross. Jesus took the punishment for that sin. God the Father punished Jesus.And God said, you are forgiven for your sins.
我们有时候会说，哇，我的罪过实在太大了，神永远不会原谅我。但其实呢，是我们的天父，他就已经处理了我们的罪，因为他让他的独生子，耶稣基督上到十字架，然后将所有我们人类的罪，只要我们承认的罪，都由耶稣基督来承担了，所以神就让我们洁净了。
So it's very arrogant to say that, you know, that sin was too big for God to take care of or too big for God to forgive. You know, that's just total arrogance.
所以我们不能够那么傲慢地说，我的罪太大了，这个神是不可能原谅我的，这个是完全是我们自己的一方之词。
Okay. Now, we'll get back to the definition that we had. It's over here.Okay, so we see in this that we have the synonyms for the word covenant.
那它的相关词呢，就是 covenant 这个约定的相关词，还包括了这个英文写的合约啦，应许啦，这个同义字。
And then you see at the end of the synonyms, you have the word testament, and this is the words that we give to the Bible. We have the New Testament and the Old Testament.
而最后的这就是这一行的最后一个是 Testament， 这个就是我们讲的 New Testament， 就是新约 ；Old Testament 就是旧约。
Okay, and just to explain that a little bit briefly, like when you look at the Old Testament, really this was the promises that God gave. If you look at the Old Testament as a summary, it's all talking about God's promise to mankind that He would provide a savior.
而我们如果详读旧约，你会发现呢，整个旧约都是神，我们天父对我们所有的应许，所有他的这个承诺。
That he would provide a savior, but also for the Jewish people, that he would provide them with a new land, a new kingdom.
而对，尤其是对这些以色列人，这些犹太人呢，他就是甚至跟他们应许了一个土地，一个国家。
Okay, and then you have the New Testament, and of course that begins with the Gospels to talk about how God has provided the Messiah and the Savior as promised in the Old Testament.
而在新约里面呢，他就等于是重新的证明了在以赛亚书里面所说的，神会给我们一个弥赛亚。
The first four books, that's the Gospels, that really talks about the Savior and the Messiah coming, but of course how the Jews rejected the Messiah, and they put him on the cross.
所以在新约一开始的前四章呢，就四福音书里，就是谈到了这个神所给我们他的独生子，也就是我们的救主，也就是弥赛亚他到来的状态。可是呢，却也描述了犹太人是如何的否认这件事。
But because of the rejection of the Jews, of course, Jesus basically had to say, this is not the time for the kingdom because the Jewish people have rejected me. So you're not ready to have the kingdom, but I will come back. And so that becomes sort of like the promise of the New Testament is that Jesus Christ will return.
所以呢，在这个新约里面就提到说，因为犹太人拒绝了耶稣基督，所以呢，神所应许的这个王国就不会到来。那但是呢，耶稣基督也提到他将会回来，所以整个新约的最终呢，他是在告诉我们这个神给我们的新的约定是他将耶稣将会回来。
And then 10 days after he ascended to heaven, we have the beginning of the church age.
而他升天，就是耶稣基督升天后十天呢，我们就开始了教会时代。
Okay, and that church age, remember that's called the mystery age because we have the mystery doctrines. And so when you look at the epistles that are written, talking about the time after Jesus ascended or after the beginning of the church age, these are what we can call the mystery age. We have the mystery doctrines. You know, we are basically living in this sort of this mystery time that was never mentioned in the Old Testament.
而因为呢，犹太人拒绝了耶稣基督，因此呢，我们就进入了的这个教会时期，却不是在原本的旧约里面有任何描述的，所以我们把它称之为一个神秘的时期。这个教会时期其实是并没有在我们旧约的这个神所给我们的应许中发生的事情，这完全都是因为这些犹太人拒绝了耶稣基督。
But God's promises to the Jewish people still remain. That doesn't change. See, Jesus Christ will still come back and he'll still set up the kingdom, the promised land that he has promised to Abraham and to all his descendants.
但是耶稣很清楚地告诉犹太人呢，即使你们拒绝了我，但是我还会回来。那也就是说，之后呢，这个当时在神对亚伯拉罕所有的应许，要给他迦南美地，要给他一个王国的这个应许呢，将会迟到，但不会不到。
And as part of the study, we're going to look at some of the agreements that he made with these people. For example, we have Noah and Abraham and David.
所以我们现在回头看看当初呢，这样的应许呢，是神给过这个诺亚、亚伯拉罕跟大卫的。
Okay, and he's also made these covenants. We had individuals, so that's Noah, Abraham, David, and then with people. So we have Israel. He's made covenants with them through the Mosaic law, and he's made promises to us as Christians through the New Testament and the mystery doctrines.
这些应许不只是给亚伯拉罕、诺亚或者是大卫这些个人，他也同样的。将他的应许是给了所有的犹太人跟所有我们这些基督徒，那在这个摩西律法里面就看到了他给了所有犹太人的应许，而在新约里面也看到了耶稣基督也神要给我们这些基督徒的应许。
Let's go on to the next slide there. This will tell us about the covenant that God has made through Noah.
我们先来看看神在当初跟诺亚所立的约。
Okay, and this is the first time that you see the word covenants being mentioned.
而在这边呢，就是创世纪的第九章呢，是这个约定 covenant 这个字呢，第一次出现。
Yeah, now it doesn't mean it's the first time God made a promise, but I'm just saying it's the first time we see the word covenant, which we had here. The word covenant itself is berit. When you get to down to Genesis 6:18, this was the first time you see the word mentioned.
我们讲说，这是第一次看到 covenant 约定这个字出现在圣经里，并不代表说神到这时候才开始跟人立约。神早在更早跟亚当夏娃时候就立约了啊，所以我们只是说在创世纪六章八节，你会看到这个 covenant 就是约定的这个字第一次出现在圣经里。
Yeah, in most English Bible translations, when you see the word berit, they actually translate that as covenant. So we're going to look at these examples. We have Genesis 6:18, and then from Genesis 9, verse 9 to verse 13, we see it mentioned four times.
而我们可以看到呢，在创世纪的六章十八节，还有九章九到十三节，哈，被谈到这个字四次。
Okay, and the word itself is mentioned, according to my dictionary, we see it 285 times throughout the Old Testament. So it's a very important concept.
而这个 covenant 这个字呢，在旧约里面就出现了285次啊，可以想象这个字对。圣经来讲是个非常重要的字。
Okay, we'll just go to the first time we see the word mentioned. That was in Genesis 6:18.
好，我们先来看一下《创世纪》六章十八节。
Now, this is after we see the angelic infiltration, of course, and we spend a lot of time studying about that and how humanity had come to its end.
我们在去年花很多时间谈到。在诺亚那个时代，哈，整个这些堕落天使的渗透啊，在人间啊，让所有人类的血脉都被污染了，所以人类呢，就等于是几乎要到了终结的时候。
Now, remember that right from the beginning of the garden, that God had promised to Adam and Eve that from their offspring, that there would be a savior, there would be one that would provide them with eternal life. And so that Eve would become the mother of the living, meaning the eternal life.
而我们可以回想哈，在伊甸园的时候呢，神有对亚当夏娃说，他们的后嗣将会有一个拯救者会出现。而可以使得人类呢，可以永远的存活，而夏娃将会成为人类的所有的祖先。
We'll just go very quickly back to Genesis 3 because this will tell us this is sort of like a gospel message, you can say. It tells us how Eve takes on this name to be the mother of the living.
好，我们现在回来看一下这个《创世纪》第三章哦，就是当神在应许说。夏娃将会成为所有的人类后嗣的母亲。
Yeah, it comes out in Genesis 3:20. See, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the word living there you have chayim, but living in any biblical concept, it really relates to eternal life. We're not talking about biological life.
好，那我们这边在讲说。就是创世纪三章二十节说到，亚当给他妻子起名叫夏娃，因为她是众生之母啊。我们要理解啊，这个众生之母的这个是个生啊，就是 all livings 这个字呢，讲的不只是活着的人类，就是应该说就是永活的人类。
You have to remember, like Jesus himself, he said, "I am the way and the truth and life." And when he's talking about life, he's obviously not talking about biological life. He's talking about eternal life.
当神在谈这样子的这个永生的这个生命的时候，绝对讲的不是这种生物性的生命，因为生物性的生命是会死的，啊，所以是有短暂的。但是现在所谈的都是指的是这种永生的生命。
So that when Eve becomes a mother of the living, it's because God is going to provide a savior through her seed, and through the seed of her and Adam. And actually, it was through her and through the Holy Spirit. And by the time you get down to Jesus Christ, the biological parents of Jesus is the it's going to be Mary and going to be the Holy Spirit, of course. See, Eve was called the mother of the living because through her offspring, you know, she's going to have a baby, and then obviously all the way down to Jesus Christ, and we have the Savior. So this is how she becomes the mother of the living, through giving childbirth.
所以呢，在这里呢，圣经讲到说，夏娃她将成为众生之母，因为她的后嗣呢，就将会一直的延绵下去啊，一直到耶稣基督的诞生。当然，耶稣基督也是从这个玛利亚出生的，那跟圣灵的一个结合而生下了耶稣基督。
Yeah, so that was a promise that God had given to Adam and Eve that you will have a son who will be the savior, but this person has to be a person. It has to be a man, of course.
因为神呢对亚当夏娃的这个应许就是呢，你们将会有一个儿子成为人类的这个拯救者。那这个儿子当然是一个人类啊，所以是也是就是从这个人类的后嗣里面出生。
And so Satan, who's listening in on the conversation, you know, in his mind he's thinking, well, I need to stop this.
而当然撒旦也听到了这样子的一个对话，所以呢，撒旦呢就要终结这一件事情。
We see his first attempts to stop this, you know, from them having children was when he motivated Cain to kill Abel because he thought that maybe Abel was going to be the savior.
而他第一次啊，试着就撒旦试着要终结人类的后嗣呢，就是他让亚当夏娃的孩子亚伯，死掉，被他的哥哥杀了。
I think it might come out in 1 John or somewhere in one of the later epistles, and it talks about how that Cain was actually inspired by Satan. He was of the devil, and because of that reason, that's why he killed his brother. Okay, so we see in 1 John 3:12, Cain, who was of the evil one. Now, the evil one is Satan. He was from the evil one, meaning he was inspired by Satan, and he killed his brother.
我们可以再看一下约翰一书三章十二节。好，这边就提到呢，说该隐，也就是亚伯的哥哥呢，他是属那恶者的，就是他是受这个撒旦的影响，哈。或者是蛊惑，让他杀了他的弟弟亚伯。
And we could ask the question, well, how did Satan inspire Cain to kill his brother?
那当然，这就是有一个问题啦，就是到底撒旦是怎么样去引诱该隐去杀他的弟弟的呢？
Well, we can just assume that, you know, because Satan is, we saw him take on the form of a snake, so he's taken on some form, and he's appeared to Cain, and he's actually talking to Cain. He's standing right beside him, probably even in an angelic form, and he's talking to Cain.
我们可以想象哈，就是撒旦他常常可以假扮成各种东西啊，比如说是蛇啦，或任何的一种东西，然后就在这个该隐的旁边呢。小声的跟他这个给他一些坏主意。
Just in that, like you see in Genesis 4, and this is where this whole incident happens, back in Genesis 4, we see the Lord is talking. He's talking to Cain. He was pleased with Abel's offering. He was very disappointed with Cain. And Cain was very angry and very bitter.
我们可以来看一下在创世纪四章五节呢，这个当时该隐是为什么会杀了亚伯呢，就是因为该隐他的献祭啊，是拿他自己所种的这些植物来献祭，然后呢，神呢并不喜悦该隐的献祭，所以这个该隐就非常的生气。
So, you know, Satan or Lucifer, you know, Satan, he's going to take advantage of Cain's anger, and he's going to say to Cain, well, just, you know, kill your brother, get him over and done with. Why should he get all the special attention? You know, you could be the favorite son.
而该隐呢非常的生气，他的献祭不受神所喜悦，但是他更生气的是呢，亚伯的献祭呢是非常受到神的喜悦的，所以撒旦就利用该隐的这个气氛呢， 啊，给了他一个主意，要他杀了亚伯。
Now, we don't know the exact words of the conversation, of course, but whatever Satan said, it was effective enough for him to inspire Cain to pick up the sacrificial knife, and then he stabbed his brother with that knife.
而我们当然在圣经里并没有记载，哈，这个撒旦是如何跟该隐说话的，但是我们看到的就是呢，该隐他就因为气愤啊，然后受了这个撒旦的引诱呢，他就拿起了要杀献祭的牲畜的刀子，把亚伯给杀了。
Yeah, just to finish off, we'll show you this in the verse here. It was 1 John 3:1-12 that we were just looking at, and it actually tells you that it was of the knife when he killed the brother. This is the word they used to kill. You can see the word here in Greek, spazo.
现在呢 ，Tim 是想让我们知道他的这个该隐杀亚伯的那个“杀”字啊，在希伯来文是 S P A Z O 这个字。
Yeah, that's right. We're in the Greek here. This is in the New Testament, so this is the Greek, old Greek language.
对不起，就是Tim 呢，他现在要秀给我们看这个在希腊文在新约里面因为是约翰一书3:12里面。所用的字就是杀了该隐杀了他的兄弟的那个杀字，是希腊文是 SPHAZO 这个字。
Okay, and you can see the words that they translate here, you can either use slain or slew, but really it means to kill or to kill basically.
那这个字呢被翻译成就是基本上就是等于是杀，就是杀死的那个杀字。
Okay, if we go over to the Thayer's dictionary, and it actually tells you that the root word of this, the noun, is spago. You just have to wait for my dictionary to come up. And that's the word for a sacrificial knife.
而希腊字的这个杀呢，它其实也等于在希腊文里面它的意思，也就是所谓杀这个献祭牲畜的那个杀的那个刀。
To summarize what we're seeing there is that Lucifer inspired Cain to kill his brother because Lucifer is evil. He's the evil one.
路西佛也就是撒旦呢，他就是基本上就是引诱了该隐啊，去杀了他的弟兄弟。而这个明显的就是那个非常非常邪恶的一个行为。
Okay, and remember the objective is to stop the Messiah from happening. And he's going to fail this time because Adam and Eve are going to have more children. But then we have the angelic infiltration.
这样子的行为就是撒旦第一次啊，试着要把人类的后嗣给断绝的一个行动。当然这个并没有成功，因为亚当跟夏娃还有后来又生了更多的孩子。
Okay, and so remember that with the angelic infiltration, now Satan is going to change the strategy and he's going to have his angels come down and either get married or whether they get married or not, but have sex with the woman and then they have these half angels.
而在创世纪第六章呢，则是告诉我们说，撒旦呢，他用了更厉害的手段，更有效果的这个策略，就是他让很多的堕落天使都来到人间，然后跟人类的女儿怀孕生子。这样的话呢，人类的血脉就不再纯净所以他用这个方式来要毁掉所有人类的后嗣。
Yeah, and then by the time you get to Noah, of course, there's really no humans left. There's only 8 humans left. So this is why God is saying to Noah again in Genesis 6:18, I'll establish my covenant with you.
而这个方式呢，真的就让人类的所有的血脉几乎断绝，因为全世界就只剩下了8人是纯净的，也就是亚当，也就是诺亚他家的那8人。那在这个时候呢，就是整个上帝又让整个大水淹没世界要把这些不纯净的这个血脉的全部都杀死，然后剩下了诺亚的一家，让他们能够重新繁衍这个属于纯净的人类的血脉。而也就是这样呢，神在这个大水之洪水之后呢，神就跟诺亚一家人立约。
Okay, so we'll just take another break for 5 or 10 minutes, and then come back and we can just finish off. We might have another 15 minutes left or so.
Okay,
okay, I'll see you soon.